Nice day out here. Bobby Evans joins us, VP of Baseball Operations, Assistant General Manager of the Giants. Bobby, how are you this morning?
Hey, doing okay, Marty. Thank you. How are you guys?
We're good, and of course, we love having you out here live, and I know you got a busy day today.
Sure. Hey, Bobby.
How are you?
We're doing great. Yeah, actually, everything is good, and the weather's good. And how's the ball club? You know, I always say the 54-game mark is coming up by next Friday. One-third of the season's by. You sort of get a handle on what you got and what has to be improved on.
Well, we see a division that's going to make it tough on us. Everybody's playing pretty decently in the division and even better than expected in the case of Colorado. Arizona, we knew would be tough, but Colorado, if they keep pitching, they're going to be tough to beat, as we've seen. And that road trip was tough on us, and then we came back and won those first two games at home, really boosted our spirits a little. And losing Vogelsong hurts, and I can't think of the last time we've had a TBA start for us, because we've had so many good runs with our own starters. So it'll be interesting to see what we do on Tuesday.
Yeah, what are you struggling with in coming up with that decision? I know a lot depends on who you have to use over the weekend, but I talked about on the air, and you know, the strength of the bullpen is very important to you guys. You're one of the best in the league. And then again, you got Casilla out, which could be out for, you know, a few weeks. In a way, I would hate to see you bust up the bullpen and take Godin out of there.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, Chad has been very key for us, and he's matriculating later and later in the game, and so therefore you got to be careful not to throw him off. He's having a great year, and we'll have to be careful. I mean, whether we go depends on how our starters do the next couple of days and how deep we can go, how much we can protect that bullpen. But again, I think Brian was saying that whoever starts Tuesday doesn't necessarily become the guy that starts every fifth day. We just need to evaluate it start to start, and whether that's a guy from the minor leagues or whether we use a bullpen day with a Chad starting. I think we'll make a decision here pretty quick because we need to get ready for that game.
Well, as you look at it, let's talk a little bit about the minor leagues. Who would you think about as a potential from the minor leagues?
Well, there's a number of options. The challenge we have, we're at 40-man roster.
Right.
So to clear a 40-man spot, you'd probably have to 60-day Tony Abreu or Eric Sercamp, which could create a spot for some time until they're ready to pitch or get back on the active roster. But Michael Kickham has talked a lot about he's not on the 40-man. Chris Heston has talked about he is on the 40-man. Shane Lukes, who was up with us a good bit last year, not on the 40-man, but starting at AAA. We have Edwin Escobar in San Jose, who's on the 40-man, who's pitched well. But, again, that's a lot to ask of anybody. Even Kickham or Heston, who pitched at AA last year, much less Escobar, who's pitching at A-ball this year. So Shane Lukes is the most experienced guy of that group. At the same time, he's not on the 40, and it's a tough decision. There's a lot of options, but you want to make the right choice.
Well, it's in a way, it's good. It's early in the year, so you can experiment a little bit. I mean, it's not the end of the world if it doesn't work out the first time.
I think the disadvantage is on Kickham is if you bring up Kickham and he struggles, and yet you don't want to keep going to him. Now you've added him to the 40-man roster. He's not coming off the 40-man roster. So once you add him, you're keeping him on. So now your flexibility has diminished a little bit by adding him. So when you add him, you want to be sure you're ready to stick with him for a little bit.
Great point. Well, you always give me the good point that I hadn't thought about. That's very good. And I guess just to follow that up a little bit, if you brought Lukes up and he went on the 40-man and he had to go off the 40-man, you probably wouldn't lose him.
Well, you may not lose him. You may lose him, but at the same time, he's a veteran pitcher who probably a little easier to replace than one of your young up and coming stars.
Right. Well, good point, Bobby Evans. Always a pleasure to have him on, Assistant General Manager of the Giants. You mentioned the Abreu, and is he hurt again? I haven't followed it really.
Well, he's been DHing for us at Fresno, getting rehab opportunity, but that knee still irritates him, and it's not at a place where he's felt comfortable going out and taking ground balls and playing in the infield. And There's really, it's hard for us because there's really nothing structurally wrong from all the testing we've done, all the MRIs we've done, all the doctor's appointments, but it still irritates them. And there's been some bursitis in there, which, you know, can be very painful and difficult. So he was going to start as a DH last night, and then again his knee was bothering him. So from part of the travel to Colorado Springs, so hopefully he'll be back out there today. But we'd love to get him back active. I mean, in a perfect world, give Noonan a chance to get some consistent at bats at AAA. That being said, unless Abreu gets healthy, we'll have to continue to go the course as we are.
What's up with Casilla? And I know Bruce Bochy yesterday said it looks like a month, and they haven't determined how to deal with the cyst, but he's talking about a month. Is that fairly accurate?
Well, it's difficult. It just depends on how we approach it, because there's some approaches that we could take that could try to get us through the season with him still pitching, and therefore it would take him out for a month. If for some reason those don't work, then if you do something more radical or more permanent, which is probably what you'll need to do in the offseason, it's a four-month rehab, which you'll probably have to do in the offseason, but you'd rather wait if you can and let him get through the year.
All right. Well, game 54 is coming up after the A's series. That'll be the one-third mark. As you sort of assess the team grade-wise, and where would you, the overall grade for the Giants, what would you give them in the first third of the season?
Well, I think we're at a B, a B for the most part. I guess what's really held us together has been our offense really picking up from where they left off last season, just with hitting with runners in scoring position and not striking out a lot. That's really helped our starters, but our starters have really struggled, and the consistency of start to start we're not getting right now, and hopefully that's something that we can turn the corner on. The bullpen has held up very well, and those are some good marks. Those kind of help raise that grade. But we do need our starters. We're built on a starting staff that's really carried us through two World Series championships, and we need them.
Yeah, and Bobby, I know that we're about less than 2 weeks away, but how are you kind of fractioning your time with looking ahead to the draft as opposed to day-to-day operations?
Well, that's a big part of our time right now, because we've got to make some get some meetings together here right after the Memorial Day weekend, and we'll be having a lot of preparation to finalize all of our national cross-checkers views of all the different regions of the country, and ACC tournament, SEC tournaments are being covered this weekend, and it's a lot of baseball, a lot of Bay Area talent, high school and college. We will be picking 25th and then again 64th, so it's really, you know, hard to know who you'll get when you're at the 25th pick in the country, and yet it's very critical to find a guy that you think can give you either a high ceiling or a quick rise, depending on who's there. And we're not biased whether it's pitching or position player, but either way we want to see the best possible options. And It's going to be a busy time, and we have a workout here at the stadium where we invite a handful of guys to come and work out for us the first part of June, and then we've got the draft, so it happens fast.
Yeah, that's awesome, Bobby. And while you're not position biased, it seems like you're regionally biased. It seems like a lot of your top picks over the last 4 or 5 years have come out of the South, talking about Bumgarner and Posey and Heston last year. You keep an eyeball down there. I know you said you were watching the SEC tournament or whatever. So, and then you're a North Carolina guy, so you definitely keep your attention down South, huh?
Yeah, well, they've got a third baseman there that's going to go long before we get to him, but he won't get to us, but some good talent in the Southeast, and that's evident from even this year's draft. But again, there's some pretty good talent here in Northern California.
Okay.
Yeah, isn't there a pitcher locally that's been talked about?
Yeah, Crook's a big high school kid that's just done real good. Of course, Stanford, you got Appel, yeah. And there's a gamut. I mean, really, from Cal and other places, there's a lot of good talent, high school wise, college wise, and it's been a fun year to see some of these guys, and you know. Of course, I see him sparingly compared to what our scouts are seeing, but it's some good options out here.
Well, you know, first I want to mention one thing. This Martin Augusta, did I say it correctly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Martin Augusta, yeah.
Yeah, at Augusta. He's pitching great. And this is a kid from St. Mary's from last year.
He is pitching great. He was our second-round pick.
And yeah.
You know, that's not an easy league. There's some of the best hitters out of college in their first full season, and you've got the gamut of weather, whether it's cold and rainy. We've had quite a few rainouts, and now you start to get into humidity here pretty soon. But he's remained consistent and got good breaking stuff and excellent command, and you know, just the tip of the iceberg of our pitching as you move up the ladder into San Jose, and there's been some great arms there as well.
Yeah, and Jonathan Gray, I think, is the other name people will hear at the top of the draft. Mark Capello, Jonathan Gray. Sounds like they're going to go one and two, two pitchers.
Exactly. I think that's what everyone believes. Gray may be edging out Capello right now with Houston. Their draft strategy is interesting because they have, of course, the most money to work with. But if they can save some money on that first pick, then they can use some of that money to pay, you know, their second round, third round, and fourth round picks, and therefore get better guys.
You know, funny you said Bobby Evans is with us. Now, this is the first year you can actually trade. Can't you trade money in the international world or something?
Right. They've taken an approach with international market where instead of just giving you one number, you have X amount of dollars you can spend. They've kind of given it at different levels, and you can trade a certain portion of that money. You know, which is basically trading the right to spend that money to another club, and then if a club, you know, once they have it, obviously I assume they're expecting to spend it. The amount of money though is so different. I mean, the team like Houston has over $4 million to spend in the international market, where we're down in the high ones. So it's quite a bit of difference in how much money can be spent between, you know, between each club.
So let's say I wanted to trade money. I want to trade money to Houston. What do they? Do I get a player back? What do I get back?
Yeah. Well, you could, it's a trade. So you're getting whatever you've negotiated, whether it's a major league player, minor league player. Again, it's the right to spend that money.
Okay.
Very complex, Marty.
Interesting.
Very
all right,
complex.
Interesting. You know, Bobby, this I think it's the year of the pitcher again. I'm looking at the league ERAs and the league batting averages, and boy, it's only a third of the season. I know the sample isn't big enough, but I tell you, we're coming back to the year of the pitcher again. I just feel it.
Yep.
Well, we're seeing a record number of strikeouts, and that is, of course, the best thing for pitching, to get the quick out, and that's what's happening around the league. And it's, again, we're fortunate that our hitters have been consistent in avoiding the strikeout, but it's a big number. It's going to be record-setting by year end.
Yeah,
and it's not just the pitching is so outstanding, but these are a lot of young kids. 13 of them under the age of 25, 13 starters have ERAs under 3. So I was asking Marty, Bobby, that I don't ever remember it being quite like this. You have such outstanding pitching from guys that are this young.
Well, that bodes well for the future. There's a lot of young arms that are getting a chance to come up and make an impression. I mean, even Baltimore the other day brought up their first round pick from last year, the
Gossman
first round
or whatever,
pick overall. Yeah, Gossman comes up and has a good outing, not a great outing. They lost the game, but you know, how quickly of a rise is that? And that's really what clubs are doing, is they're giving these young guys a chance to come up and show their stuff. And to be honest, you never know how long a guy's arm's going to be healthy. So more power to them. Bring up the young guys and let them get their best years under their belt at the big league level. Yeah.
Boy, and he made his debut, Gausman,
right
in Toronto.
Uh-oh.
Right? It was Toronto.
Yeah.
How about that?
But I missed what you said, Marty. What was that?
Yeah, he made his debut, Gausman from LSU. His debut was in Toronto.
Yeah, which is a hitter's park. But, you know, he hung in there. They lost, but it was, a good first outing. I mean, again, you prefer, I think most people prefer that a guy force his way onto a big league roster rather than a club reaching down and grabbing him and bringing him up. I don't know that Gossman necessarily forced his way up there, having only pitched at the Double-A level, but still, Lincecum's an example of a guy who forced his way up here. And when he came up, even his first outing wasn't perfect, but he consistently got better, and we sucked back-to-back Cy Youngs a year later. So.
Yeah, he made an impression, I know, on the Phillies when he first came up. Hey, Bobby, thank you so much.
Yeah, right on, Bobby.
You got it, guys.
Bye. All right, have a good afternoon. That is Bobby Evans.
Yeah.
Assistant general manager. He will be a general manager someday.
There is no doubt.